Welcome to Real Movie, the show where Jamie and Tom talk about movies that they want. Enjoy.
Now it's black. You're flashing green or green blue or something. Welcome to episode 2 of Real Punks. I'm Jamie, with me is Tom, as always, 2 times in a row, I guess. Tonight we're going to watch Class of 1984, which is a film that I like a lot. My phone's ringing.
Are you serious?
It's a picture message from Amy. Oh. It might be boobs. It looks a little bit like boobs.
That's really disappointing.
I
think we should get back on topic.
Alright, okay. So, this is a Mark Lester film from 1982 that deals with violence in schools and stuff, and it's dead good. So, let's get down to watching it and be back after this to tell you what we think.
About something very important today. That's outside the cinema. I know a lot of you listening now enjoy the film world. Your boy outside the cinema covers all kinds of good films. If you're looking for the classics, perhaps you're looking for a good old Nazi film where the Nazis torture and rape everyone in sight. Or giant monsters crawl from the sea. Or perhaps an Italian film where Edward's Finish takes her clothes off for no apparent reason. Or renegade bikers just do whatever they damn well please. Perhaps even occasionally turn into a werewolf. Then Outside the Cinema is your place to go. That's www.outsidethecinema.com. Outside the Cinema, your source for cult movie discussion.
Okay, so we've just watched Class of 1984.
Yeah, we did.
And I suppose you should explain why you chose to show it.
Well, I think it's a fucking incredible film. I think it's exciting, I think it's interesting, I think there's like enough subtext in there as well. I just think it's great, and I thought that you might enjoy it. I know how much you like the Warriors.
Yeah.
I thought that you might quite enjoy it on a similar level.
Yeah. I think the parts of it that I did enjoy, and it didn't occur to me to compare the two until you said that, but the parts of it I did enjoy were the parts that were most like the Warriors in the, you know, the kind of, I don't know, the tension and the action in it.
Yeah.
I think the difference is, I think the Warriors is like a fairly silly film.
Yeah.
And
I think Class of 1984 is fairly silly as well, but not on purpose, maybe.
Yeah, I mean the only parts of this that I can only enjoy watching this if I try and watch it as if there isn't meant to be any subtext.
Right. Well, there's no. I don't think the subtext is particularly subtle. I don't think it's subtext. I think it's just text, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. But, okay, so some kind of underlying, what's the word, for some message, that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, even though it's really obvious that that's meant to be in there, I enjoyed it a lot more. Like, I kind of knew that was going to be in there as well, like some kind of social commentary.
Yeah.
And I just had to try and put it out of my mind, because...
Well, I guess the ideology of it is the almost the complete opposite of us, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
It's very much like the generation, the younger generation are scary. We should be scared of them. Because I guess we are the younger generation.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like I said, I've been trying very carefully not to read too much into it, because I knew it would just kind of irritate me. I guess the end of this film said 1981 as well, if I'm reading the Roman numerals right.
So yeah, I
suppose IMDb is wrong.
That does look like 1981 there, doesn't it?
It's there as well, yeah. Yeah, unless we're reading it completely wrong. But I can't really imagine how that would be the case.
Ooh, it's got a director's commentary. Watch it with the director's commentary when I get home.
Yeah, so, no, I did enjoy it. Like, I thought there were, you know, it sounds kind of stupid, like, kind of obvious, but it crescendos at the end. Like, that's where the most exciting parts are.
Yeah.
I thought the one part where, what's his, Stegman. Well, Stegman sits down and starts playing a piano and actually turns out to be really good. Like, I was kind of excited at that point because I thought something was gonna play off that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was gonna be a film turned into more of like an uneasy tension between these two like characters, and that could have probably been quite a lot more complex and a lot more interesting. But then I was kind of surprised when like it just keep developing into just out and out antagonism.
Yeah.
Which made it a much more simple film. Give it some more exciting action scenes, but.
It gets pretty bloody at the end. How did you feel about that? I know that you don't like it when films
I'm fine with outwardly violent films. I just can't deal with ones that are just like crushingly gory. Like,
yeah, I mean that's pretty gory though at the end.
No, I don't think it is. Like, there's no part of that that's particularly gory. Like, I think it's not even gore in particular. Like, you know, I think it is like willful and like really malicious punishment. So like, obviously the scene where they break into his wife's house is just horrible.
Yeah.
Like, that's the I think the least, like, the most distasteful part of it. But aside from that, I didn't think it was.
I find that scene almost completely unnecessary as well. It's not like
they
need to do that.
Yeah.
Or the director needed to do that to send him over the edge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's almost like not something that the characters would even do, really.
Yeah.
I know that they would sort of fuck with people's shit in their little bubble.
Yeah.
But why would they? I don't understand why they would go out of their bubble just to.
I mean, it's also.
Especially one where they know that this guy is the guy that's going to come after them.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, gratuitous use of rape scenes is just one of the weakest devices, like, in any films that I've seen. Like, so Dogville, like, literally the entire film hangs off it.
Really?
Like, that's the whole point, is that this woman comes to town and over the course of her staying there eventually just becomes, like, repeatedly and systematically raped by all of the men in the town.
Right.
And that's used to represent, like, this low point of humanity, like. And it's just crude, like, it's just a cheap shot.
Yeah. Like, we're just saying this, like, they could have easily just kidnapped the wife.
Yeah, yeah,
there,
yeah.
There was literally no need to show,
yeah,
like, four dudes successively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rape his wife like that.
Yeah, it was grim and like unnecessary, and I think, you know, and yeah, pretty just like it trivializes the whole crime itself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, and I guess that's kind of Rich saying that, in that, like, there's loads of films with murder in all the time and people get killed, and maybe that trivializes that as well. But
because this sounds fucking ridiculous. I'm going to say, I think murder and rape are very different. And
No, I think they are. Yeah.
Well, I know they are, but I was going to get to a point where I was saying, like, people. I guess murder is sort of vaguely more trivial than rape.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't really know what I mean by that, though. So.
I know what you mean in the sense that, a lot of people got killed in this film, but. I don't know what it is about it that just kind of doesn't bother me as much. I think it's because they're antagonists. Like, when you see people get killed in films, it's almost always because they're antagonists. And
yeah.
That's never the case with rape. Like, it's always someone preying on someone else.
Yeah.
And I just think it wasn't necessary.
I think I agree as well
really
that the, like, when you see someone that isn't an antagonist get
murdered.
Potentially murdered,
yeah,
or murdered, as in this with Michael J. Fox's character,
it's pretty
jarring.
Yeah, yeah. I think I know what the difference is as well. Like, murder is almost always spontaneous on screen, right? Someone gets shot and then it's done. But they always, like, so, you know, if you killed someone over the course of a few minutes, it would be just as grim as the rape scenes were.
I guess that's why you don't like Audition so much as well.
Yeah, because it's just basically just, what, like 15 minutes of torture at the end.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Oh, I just remembered that I bought Iron Monkey on the weekend on DVD.
I don't know what that is.
It's completely irrelevant and probably no fun to our listeners at all, but it's like a martial arts film directed by the same dudes who did all those other Chinese ones that you like. All the wire ones. It's lots of wire fighting and...
Oh, like by the same people that did Hero and...
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like a straight up martial arts, like,
okay,
less magic, more fighting.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
worth watching that.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. it's not a good time to have a cough. No, I did enjoy it. I thought some of the script writing wasn't great.
Yeah, and the dubbing's pretty bad in the start particularly.
Yeah.
I don't know if I got used to it or if it got better. But
no, it was pretty bad. Like there's generally parts where, you know, I see it and think, naturally my response is, wait a minute, is the... Because at various different stages in setting all this up, like, I've had the audio and the video out of sync.
Yeah.
And so now when I see stuff out of sync, I don't think, oh, the dubbing's fucked. I think, oh, shit, what have I broken with my computer?
Yeah.
But now you point it out, yeah. There are loads of bits where the lips don't quite sync with the... And just, you know, just kind of badly written lines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the film's 30 years old. So,
yeah.
I mean... in terms of like the dub, I think that could be just a symptom of its age.
Yeah,
and the dialogue as well to a degree.
Yeah,
I mean people could write good dialogue in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, but some people just couldn't.
Yes, yeah, I think you got away with it more then. As well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you know, but then I guess that wasn't the crux of the film. You know, it's an action film to an extent.
To an extent, yeah.
You can get away with bad dialogue and things like that. I mean, if there was meant to be a social commentary underneath it, then all the books, which I'm sure there is, and like I said, I was trying to actively ignore it, because every time I kind of thought about it, I just disagreed with everything that was being said.
We should talk about it.
So I think it's pretty significant that they show Stegman at home with his mum.
Hmm.
Like, so, you know, he's probably the only character that has, like, a little bit of fleshing out in the film.
Apart from Norris.
And the
paltry attempt to flesh out the other teacher character.
Yeah. But, you know, so they see him playing piano, and you see him at home in this kind of, like, you know, happy home life.
Yeah.
And it tries to kind of, like you say, it tries to provide this image of these scary kids who, you know, this unknown generation, and, you know, they're all kind of sweet and happy at home and deceitful, essentially.
Yeah.
And then when they're out, you know, at school or in public, like, they're riotous.
Yeah.
And you know... And I think it showed these two ridiculous sides of things. It showed a punk gig where, you know, people are fighting and getting naked and dealing drugs and you know, signing up hookers.
Yeah.
And then showed a home life where, you know, he's sitting on the sofa with his mum and she's, you know, all nicely dressed and she's brushing her hair and it's like, well...
Yeah.
I mean...
Have you seen Eden Lake?
No.
Right, it's handled... Sort of similarly in Eden Lake as well.
Right.
Which I don't know if you'd like.
Okay.
It's very... it makes me wince quite a lot.
Right, okay.
But yeah, it's a similar sort of story. Basically, the story of Eden Lake is this couple go to a lake to hang out and fuck and stuff.
Mm.
And some kids fuck with their shit. And then the kids, like, kill the dude. And then the woman has to run around and...
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I suppose... My issue with that whole thing of presenting, you know, it trying to flesh out Stegman presenting these two parts of him, you know, him at punk gigs and him at home, like, I can't see how that bears any relationship to what really, really happens.
Well, I thought about him at home was more about how his mum's how his mum was completely unwilling to deal with the fact that her son was a complete cunt.
Yeah, but like, if you, you know, like, I think that's, if you don't have any evidence that your son is a drug dealer and someone, you know, let's say someone comes home and they've been, like, beaten up and they say, this person beat me up.
Yeah.
Like, and then they, you know, when are you ever going to believe this other person's argument that actually he smashed his own head in on a radiator?
Well, that's true.
Like, you can't expect the mother character to go, oh, actually, maybe it is the case that you didn't beat my son up, and maybe it is the case that my son's dealing drugs, and so on. Like, it's, you know...
Well, she must see... I sound like a fucking dick now, but she must see, like, the way he dresses. And she's in the
but
same...
He's dressed really conservatively at home.
Yeah, but he wouldn't... I can't imagine Stegman being the sort of character who would leave his house and then change into his punk rock gear.
Yeah, okay, but... No, no, okay, but, I mean...
Change out of his pastel sweatshirt yeah. into his...
No, but, okay, so in practical terms, yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. But in, like, the terms of the character, the that's exactly what the character does. He switches tone when he's talking to different people, right?
Yeah.
Like, he really switches his delivery in different situations, and that's the hook of the character, that, like, he presents these two different faces.
I always have a question, which is completely unrelated to what we're talking about now, but if they go around stealing money off all the students,
yeah,
how do the students afford to buy drugs from them?
I guess you steal money from the ones who don't buy drugs from you.
That did seem to be the case. Like, they didn't steal any money off the one that dies on the flagpole.
Yeah,
drugs well, are bad. They only stole. I think that's the,
oh, drugs are bad, are they? Right. Okay. Now I know.
Never do PC. Was it PCP? Is that what Angel Dust is?
I have no idea.
I don't know what Angel Dust is. I think it's. Maybe we're not real punks after
yeah
all.
Yeah, we need to work on that. But yeah, I don't know, like, what, why is it that, you know, they go to this punk gig and it's all riotous and disorderly, and then they've got a room in the back of the venue that they use for doing their dealings? Like, when the
that
fuck
was
it,
so strange.
I mean, it's retarded. Like, when the fuck have you ever been to a gig where you can be to the promoter, we need a room in the back for the desk so we can sign up hookers and sell coke. Like,
yeah.
It's, I mean, and
I thought, sorry.
If anything, I feel like the opposite is true of what they presented, in that I would imagine that the vast majority of people who are seriously delinquent at school have unstable home lives to some extent, like do not have like a nice, like, cozy
yeah.
nest that they live in, and then on the other hand, I can't see there ever having been anyone show that there's any correlation with, like, people going to punk shows and dealing cocaine any more than, like,
well, I thought the punk gig
yeah.
was the most real part of the film. Just the actual gig section, not the back section.
Yeah, it was, but like
I watched the decline of Western Civilization again the other day, and I thought generally that the punk element, like the punk gig, and some of the elements of the characters, apart from like the ridiculous sort of 1950s motorcycle gang
right.
elements. We're fairly close, like, fairly spot on.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the punk gig is spot on in this. Like, it was a fairly reasonable depiction of a mosh pit.
Yeah.
But, like, why is it the case that a mosh pit is a symbol of decay and disorder? Like, well, okay, because it's violent, right? Like,
yeah.
That's what they... But, you know, like a Greco-Roman wrestling match, like, that's okay. Or boxing, like, those are all healthy sports, right? Like, according to the philosophy of the filmmaker.
Yeah.
Like, I would imagine that, you know, if they were going to show, like, a high school wrestling match, they wouldn't use that as a, you know, an indication of social decay.
We should talk a little bit about the philosophy of the director.
Right.
Like, I talked to you briefly about the sequel, Class of 1999.
Right.
But it's not really a sequel, but it's made by the same director.
Okay.
Basically, Class of 1999 is about robotic teachers that go insane and kill pupils for no reason.
Yeah.
Which seems to me to be completely odds with the the philosophy of this film?
Well, I mean, I don't know how they're related.
Well, it's the same director, same writer.
Yeah. But, like, maybe he's just in another school film. You know what I mean? Like, do they have to...
I'm pretty sure it's classed as a sequel.
Right.
Or is it, like, a futuristic remake or something.
Okay.
But even so, even if it's not the case, I mean, he's presented something very... very right wing with this film, with Class of 1984, I'd say. There's a right wing sort of Daily Mail.
Yeah, I guess so. There's like this demonization of youth.
Of youth, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I guess every generation is scared of the youth. Like in the 50s they were all scared of the motorcycle gangs. In the 60s they were almost sort of scared of the hippies, I guess. I don't know if they were scared of them.
No one's ever been scared of hippies.
In the 70s and early 80s, everyone was scared of the punks.
Yeah,
and rightly so. Like, so I watched, like I said, I watched the Decline of Western Civilization, and some of those people are fucking disgusting. Darby Crash, right? He needs to fucking get a wash and stop dying of overdoses.
Right, I'll bear that in mind.
he's a fucking prick. It's just not gloss over how much of a prick Darby Crasher was.
Okay, I don't have any idea who that
is. He was the singer of the Germs, and he's just the...
Okay. Right. No, I know what you mean. Like, this does rest on that.
And it's the same now, though. People are scared of hoodies, and like the last 10 years and 15 years or so, people have always been...
Yeah.
People have always been scared of the youth, or people who have a certain ideology, I guess.
But maybe this film's just using that as a riff to play on. Maybe it's not really trying to say anything with it. I mean, it's a really easy way to build a premise for a film, right? You have some group that you want to, you know. So for example, isn't there the I don't think it's a Samuel L. Jackson film.
It might be the one where he's a teacher.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And he gets stabbed a whole lot.
Yeah, there's the Mexican kids.
Yeah. So it uses like a similar device, right? Like, what it has to do is say, right, we have a school setting and it's run down and it's rough, and we need to make it clear that the gang is scary, and we need to do it quickly to get into the flow of the film. And so in that case they use like ethnic what's the word? Not stereotypes as such, maybe stereotypes.
I think they were stereotypes.
Really? I mean,
what's it called? What the fuck's that film called?
I don't know. We're not talking about the one that he's the basketball coach, though.
No, that's Coach Carter.
Yeah.
It's the one where he kills the Latino boy, and then the other gang all suspect that it's him, and then no one knows if it's him or not, and then it all comes to a head.
It's been so long since I've seen it.
I watched it over summer when I was back at Dad's. Oh.
But, oh. Anyway, like, they basically, you know, you use quick and fast stereotypes to build up.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why this, like, didn't have a whole lot of depth to it. Because rather than actually building up a character, they're just like a face for a stereotype.
It's true. And, like, these are the most... But, I mean, the director went to a decent amount of effort to make the punk scene, the punk gig, look really authentic.
Yeah.
I don't know if he just went and just shot a punk gig.
Yeah.
Which is probably, it's possible, very possible. But he shot it in such a way that made it seem really real, feel really real.
Mm.
And then just to have that, like, slap bang in the middle of like a bunch of stuff that doesn't mean anything or doesn't have any depth to it, it just seems so strange.
Mm.
Seems maybe like he blew his wad,
yeah,
all on that one section.
Yeah. I didn't really like the scene where the biology teacher is teaching all the students at gunpoint. Like, I thought that was completely awesome. And having these, like, you know, teaching genetics to kids that just couldn't give a fuck and just being like, right, you'll learn this or I'm going to shoot you. I just thought it was wicked.
I like the idea that he asks the easiest questions.
Yeah.
And like the question that he asks to the druggy one, like he didn't even, I don't even believe that he answered that. I think he was asking the question why.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, maybe. I've not thought about that. I mean, it is an interesting question, though. Like, so this has occurred to me that I've never had the situation where I've been trying to teach a class and I just cannot get anyone to listen to me. Like, I've had situations where people have, you know, kind of started mouthing off a little bit, but I've literally never even had to raise my voice. And, you know, a friend of mine interviewing for a teaching position was asked, you know, she's got this kind of very squeaky, like, she's got a very kind of quiet demeanour, squeaky voice, and she was actually asked, well, you know, are you capable of shouting? And she had to kind of, like, demonstrate that she can actually, like, shout down a class of kids. But it does, you know, it does occur to me, like, what happens when 30 people just do flat out refuse to listen to you?
Yeah. Well, right. my friend Kim's a science, a GCSE science teacher.
Right.
And she says that her class make her cry on an almost weekly basis.
Yeah. I mean,
sorry, Kim, if you listen to this.
Yeah. And you know, what do you do? Like, if you have 30 people and you just, you know, there is literally no way, like, even if you were allowed to physically attack them, there's no way that you could actually corral them into doing what you want them to do. But I think that's kind of, and if there is anything to be had from that film, in terms of social commentary, I think it's that point that, like, you physically can't force education on people, and if you're trying, and you're trying in vain, then there's probably something wrong about what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
If it's the case that no one gives a shit about genetics, it's because you haven't... It's not because you haven't presented genetics in an interesting way. It's because there's just, like, there's no feeling from, like, anyone that this information is useful to them. Or even worth having. Like, because, you know, I get questions when I'm demonstrating in labs, like, oh, what's the practical value of this? I'm like, fuck off, shut up and learn it. Like literally, I told the student to... Student said, you know, well, you know, when I go off and work in, where was it? Something like financial actuarial service or something.
Right.
Like, it was a computer engineering class. He's like, well, you know, when I go and write software for this bank, this investment bank, that's what he said. You know, when is this going to be used? And I think I told him to fuck off. Like, I think I literally,
Are you allowed to do that?
I don't know. Who's going to stop me? Like...
Stegman
might stop me.
Stegman's gonna stop you. That kid's gonna beat himself up now and blame it on you.
Yeah. I mean, I gave him an explanation. I mean, I started by telling him to fuck off. And then thought, well, actually, maybe that was a little bit harsh.
did you decide to add you cunt on the end?
Yeah, you cunt. Yeah. No, I mean, and I can't remember. I think I started with actually, you just need to fucking learn it. I don't think I actually told him to fuck off. But I did clarify it.
Backtracking now.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't remember all these details. I don't remember the various insults I hand out to various different students. but I mean, I guess... my point was that, okay, you need to... The reason it's presented to you is firstly because actually it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's just interesting. Secondly, it's a fundamental component of everything else you do. Whenever you do any computing, like, the principles that you learn now underlie the hardware of the machines that you work on.
Yeah.
Like, and so even if you never ever see it again, like, the rest of your life, assuming you have a career in software, depends on these principles, so you should at least, like, touch upon them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I whittled on... And then the last point was saying, well, you know, you say you want to work in an investment bank, like... But, you know, you're 18, you've got the three most, like, turbulent years of your life ahead of you, so things might change quite a lot. And I think that's something that doesn't get impressed upon school children. Like, that, okay, because there are, you know, there are loads of good reasons to learn things, but the first one is because actually when you start doing it and you get good at it, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's really exciting to, like, take concepts and put them together and wonder how things work and figure it out. And then also because, you know, like, it underpins life. Like, you know, why is it worth learning about genetics? Well, because you're a product of it, you know. And why is it worth learning about photosynthesis? Well, because actually it's a fucking amazing, beautiful, fascinating process that when you stop and think about it, everything on the planet exists. Everything living on the planet exists because there is the ability of this certain type of living thing to convert sunlight into sugar. Like, it's just fucking incredible.
That is true.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you don't deliver things in this way, like when you don't start with just the fact that the world is so fantastically fucking incredibly exciting, you don't have any basis for education at all.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think that's why the scene with Stegman at home is so ridiculous, because I think if you look at kids who do well and kids who don't do well in schools, I reckon probably the primary difference is the number of books and bookshelves at home, and like the amount that the environment that they're in kind of talks about how exciting learning is.
Well, I didn't do so well in school and college.
Yeah.
And I was given loads of books, and I was always fairly intelligent.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So I think there's a difference between the grades that you achieve and like how intelligent and inquisitive you are.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I didn't do particularly well at school either, but, you know, neither of us might not have, like, hit the grades, but, like, we're obviously both kind of people who are, like, stimulated by, like, who are excited by, like, intellectual stimulus. Right?
Yeah.
And I think everyone can be, but it's just, like, most people are never given the chance. It's like, true. You know, if you were brought up your whole life to be told that boning was actually really boring, until you actually tried it and went, wow, this is fucking wicked, you'd never know. And there are cultures where that happens, right? Like, there are cultures where...
What culture tells people that boning is boring?
No. But like, there are cultures that tell people that, like, homosexuality is a terrible thing. And you hear these countless stories about people who, like, get into their mid-30s and have just never, ever had any kind of satisfying sex and have always felt uncomfortable, and then one day go, oh, shit, I definitely am gay. Like,
and I'm going to chop that bit out and,
yeah, yeah,
and use that for every...
Yeah.
That's my ringtone.
Really? Okay, great. I'm glad this is being recorded. But you know what I mean, right? Like, and until that point... And there are, I think, you know, there are also people in heterosexual relationships who just never realise that, you know, just never hit the buttons of, like, what's good for them. And so they never enjoy it. And it's another example of just not being told, you know, what the opportunities are. And I think it's the same with education. I think for me, that's the thing, the part of this film that, if there is like a social commentary with it that I agree with, that's what rings for me, that you know, that if you don't inspire people to be excited about learning, the rest of it's lost.
Like. Yeah. So did you actually like it then?
Yeah, no, I did enjoy it.
I like it a lot. I think there's a million problems with it. A million things wrong with it.
Yeah.
That you could sit and pick apart. Yeah. Or I could sit and pick apart.
Yeah.
Because I was watching it going, ooh. Why is this stupid concert at the end happening? What's the point? Ooh, now he has to die in front of a load of people. What does that matter?
I kind of like the concert. I mean, it was a setting for the conclusion to the film.
Yeah. But I mean, it's ultimately completely pointless.
I don't think
there's anything that's won or lost by the fact that they all have to witness Stegman dying.
No, I think there is.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oops. Well, I don't think any of this is worth listening to unless you've actually seen the film.
No, definitely.
So I think there is something about the orchestra. I think it's meant to like juxtapose the gang.
But there was if that was the case, they didn't use it enough. And what was the song they were meant to be playing?
Well,
the song that he announced and the song that they play are two different songs.
Really?
What's the Tchaikovsky song?
The
1812. Isn't that like the really sort of rousing one?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if that's what they said they were definitely going to play. And the theme with That's just one theme in the whole piece. I think it's the most recognised one.
Yeah.
But there's quite a lot.
That's probably. Yeah.
There's quite a lot of other stuff in it.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Tom. I'm not a massive
Tchaikovsky. No, no. Yeah. I mean, I don't. All I know is that I've heard the 1812 Overture before and thought, wait a minute, I don't recognise this at all, and then realised that that's because prior to hearing it that time, all I'd ever heard is the... Yeah, the classic, like... I mean, I might be completely wrong, like, I might be talking out my ass, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Well, that's probably true.
But yeah, no,
I also... One of the things that makes it all mint at the end... It's just Stegman's face when he thinks I'm dead.
Yeah.
I've still won.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh right, yeah. I didn't really notice that until you.
He's just like such a smirky little cunt. He's there hanging, I'm dead, and I've won.
But why would he say that? Why would he think that?
Because Norris is fucked.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't know that Norris isn't gonna go to prison
for it.
Yeah. Because no one actually saw it happen.
Yeah, that's what you mean. I have to say the fact that in this menu screen, it's got director's commentary, trailer, TV spot, and the selector that you use to choose the one is a circle A, and that's fucking retarded. Like, there's not a lot that I hate more than the misuse of the circle A. Like,
really?
It's just...
What about, like, poverty? Like, global injustice?
No, none of them.
Well, not even...
No, but here's the thing, right? Like, in the grand scheme of things, I think they're one in the same. Like, no, seriously, because anarchism is a philosophy which opposes poverty, right?
Yeah.
And the misuse of the circle A is something that is often perpetuated in order to vilify anarchism. Like, so the primary weapon against anarchism, because it's a very powerful philosophy and the mechanisms by which it's enacted, so like the things like the general strike and, you know, general kind of civil disobedience, they're very, very powerful when you have like a huge body of people who just have decided, fuck it, we're not doing capitalism anymore, we're doing anarchism. Right, done. Like, that's an unstoppable force. And so the primary way of attacking anarchism from like a capitalist perspective is to demonize it. So it's to make, you know, it's to make its symbolism look like just the symbolism of yobs and idiots, and it's to make the ideas look like unrefined and stupid and unworkable. And so in that sense, this, you know, I know like punks appropriated the circle A.
Did I ever tell you about the time that Hot Wasps pulled out of a gig in Baltimore?
Yeah,
because someone used the circle A in Wasps.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's fucking retarded.
Horrific.
Yeah, absolutely horrendous. So yeah, a slight detour there, but
yeah. So would you watch it again? Not right now, obviously, but do you think you could watch it again?
I'm not sure, probably not.
Right.
I don't think it's something I'd watch a second time.
If you were to prescribe an arbitrary number, numeral value to it, what would that be?
Oh, you mean on our kind of like ranking scale?
Yeah.
Using the same ranking scale as before, where 0 is my least favourite film and 10 is my favourite.
Yeah.
I think I'm somewhere in the region of 6.5.
See, I would put that at the same... Well, I put it at 0.5 lower than I would put Solaris.
Really?
So I give What Solaris was 7.5.
Yeah, so you give this a 7.
I give this a 7.
Yeah. I think there's a big difference in the way that we look at films as well. Like, I find it quite jarring when films aren't polished.
Yeah.
Like, so...
Well, this is, what, 30 years old?
Yeah, but even so, I mean...
And it was cheap then, I bet, as well. I mean, I don't know.
But there's lots of little things, like the fact that, like, you know, when they're in the scene and the biology teacher is pointing his gun at everyone, and then ultimately ends up in the hands of the security guard, like, and he's obviously trying to disarm it, and he's just fumbling in the background, and it's little ticks like that that like really break my suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
Like when It's a bit like, you know, one of the opening scenes to Predator, when there's all these commandos sitting in a helicopter.
Yeah, and one of them singing that song.
I don't remember it.
Oh, what did he sing?
Anyway, they're sitting in the helicopter being goddamn sexual Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it is in the helicopter.
Quite a lot like we're doing right now.
Yeah. And for just some completely unfathomable reason, there's this red light on that I can't figure out at all.
Maybe it's the VCR.
Maybe, yeah. But also, they're all... It might not be that scene that it's in, it might be somewhere later, but they're all just like wandering around, and whenever they've got their guns in their hands, they have their fingers inside the trigger guards. Which, like, as someone who's ever picked up a gun, would just never, ever, ever do. Like, there are four rules before you pick up a gun, before you're ever allowed to kind of start touching guns. And one of them is, don't put your finger on the trigger until you're completely sure that you're pointing at something that you want to destroy.
Well, maybe these Jesse Ventura Marine types get taught differently.
Why would you break one of like the fundamental rules of firearms? Like, why would you do something that basically risks killing people for absolutely no benefit whatsoever? Like, it's just one of those things where people just haven't been told or haven't researched the role. Like, it's the same. Like, that security guard, like, he was handed a pistol and was trying to make it safe, and started by like practically looking down the barrel, and you expect this kind of Bugs Bunny moment where he shoots the top of his head off. And then it just completely fumbled.
I don't think that's a Bugs Bunny moment in my... I've seen enough films where people have accidentally shot their heads off.
I don't mean in the gory sense. I mean in the kind of sense where the hair goes up and fluffy and they get kind of brown, like, soot all over their face.
Right. No, okay.
You know, very kind of Disney.
I feel like you're Sammy Sam.
Yeah, exactly. Although I guess that's Warner Brothers, not Disney, isn't it?
It is. Anyway. I think Disney's wrong.
What?
I think Disney's a lot more wholesome.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is a Warner Brothers reference.
Or a Tex Avery.
I don't know.
Tex Avery was... Oh, it doesn't fucking matter.
Okay. But yeah, so it's little things all across the film.
Yeah.
Like, little bits of bad dialogue, little bits of, like, you know, implausibilities and silly things like that, that kind of, for me, brings it down a bit because it stops me from getting into the flow.
Yeah. I think the acting was all over the place. Sometimes it was good.
Yeah, and sometimes
it was
so atrocious.
Bad.
Yeah.
And I think the director as well, like, it shot reasonably well.
Yeah.
For what it is, it shot reasonably well. But the director, maybe more so the editor, like, tonally, it just shifts all the time. It's fast, fast, fast.
Yeah.
Ending. And then the ending's amazing.
Yeah, I did like the ending a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's the right kind of, like, revenge crescendo. Like,
yeah.
And so the only thing that I liked about Dogville is the fact, and I'm gonna spoil it because it's...
Because you don't want me to watch it.
It's because it's such a fucking heap of fucking balls that no one should ever, ever watch it. So I'm gonna ruin it in the hope that less people will want to. But at the end, like, these gangsters turn up to town, who she's been trying to escape for the whole film.
Right.
And she gets into one of the cars, and it turns out that the head gangster is her dad, and she ran away from him.
Right.
And they have this, like, long-winded, completely, completely, like, asinine philosophical debate about... who gives a fuck? And eventually she decides that actually, so she ran away from her dad because she didn't like all the violence of the gangs and everything, and by the end of this conversation she's changed her mind and she orders the gangsters, because she's now, you know, a member of the family, she orders the gangsters to burn the village and kill everyone.
But they did not rape her.
But that's my point, right? So that's the awesome part of the film. All
right.
These men who repeatedly rape her or get shot, and the one guy who didn't have sex with her, so they were in love, so not to imply that rape is sex by any means, like, the there was one man who was like her proponent in the town, and whenever they kind of like argued against her, he always argued for her. But he just became progressively weaker throughout the film. So in the end, they had her like with a shackle around her neck and a weight that she had to drag around town to get from one place to the other.
So it sounds subtle.
Yeah, and he didn't do anything about it, and he knew that people were raping her, and he didn't do anything about it. And he kept on professing his love, and didn't take advantage of her, which is the one thing that can be said for him.
Right.
And at the end, like, she orders these gangsters to kill everyone else, but she kills him personally. And it's just like it's the only good part of the film. It's like, yes, thank fuck, like, awesome. But you know that the director's using it to say, oh, look how miserable the human condition is, you know, look at...
I don't know why you're so down on Von Trier. We are going to watch Antichrist at some point.
That's fine.
And you're going to hate it, and we're going to argue afterwards.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. But, yeah, I've never ever watched a film before where...
Ever?
Ever, yeah, I've never seen them. What was that? I've never watched a film before that made me absolutely detest the writer and director, and Dogville did that for me.
I suspect that Antichrist will do the same.
Alright, yeah.
It's the same director.
Well, you never know, like, he might have decided, he might have, like, just flushed all the shit out of his head. Maybe. But, I don't know, that's a different film.
It is a different film. So, Clutter 1984, one of the things that's interesting, from our discussion at the end of the Roman numerals,
yeah,
obviously it's made in 1981,
yeah,
and I guess scores are pretty bad in 1981. Do you think this is his projection of how it's going to be, or how he thought it might be, well, just 3 years down the line?
Isn't this similar to Battle Royale? Like, and I can't believe it took me so long to bring Battle Royale up.
That's true. I haven't even thought of Battle Royale.
Yeah, it occurred to me about halfway through the film, and I thought, I've got to remember that, and then I forgot it. But I'm not going to become the kind of person who starts taking notes in films, because no. I'm just not going to do it. But I don't know. I guess it gives you like a little bit more latitude, doesn't it? You know, you can kind of say this is rather than, you know, if you set it in the present day or the past, like it has to have happened or like has to be happening.
Yeah.
So you put it in the future. Yeah, you can kind of project a little bit and say, oh, it's getting worse. And it is, you know, that's how alarmism works as well, right? Like, you know, you hear these people saying, oh, this country's going to the dogs and shit like that.
We need another war.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess alarmism can't work on stuff in the past because it's already happened, you know. You don't have, like, alarmist propaganda about, like, Hiroshima. Like, it happened ages ago.
It's true.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of how else it relates to Battle Royale other than not being as good. But even though they're completely different films,
I would rate them fairly close together.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen Battle Royale in a while, but I would put it up.
Like, Battle Royale is an amazing film.
Yeah, I think.
But like we talked about last time, I rate films on what they try to be rather than.
I rate films flat out on how much I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Like nothing else. And. Yeah, I really, really enjoy Battle Royale. And it's the first film that I watched that really terrified me.
Because it's full of such hot Japanese ladies.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
The one in the instructional video.
Yeah.
Is probably the most attractive woman I've ever seen in my life.
What the hell is wrong with you?
What?
She's not that hot.
She's pretty friggin' hot.
I'm not convinced.
Who in that film's hotter than her? No one in that film is hotter. Apart from, the only one that even comes close is the sort of bitchy pretty one. But she's a child, Tom.
Shut up.
I picked the only one that wasn't a minor.
Yeah. I'm not playing this game. I mean, I think you're attracted to the I don't think you're attracted to her herself. I think you're attracted to the ridiculous cuteness style that she expresses.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, it's the same kind of thing, right? Like, you know, schools have gone to shit. Dramatic measures are required to fix them.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, I've not read the book, the Battle Royale book.
Can you call it by its original name, please?
Battle Royale. Yeah.
It's just like that. Is it Battle Royale?
Battle Royale. No, no, I think Battle Royale. Battle Royale, yeah, is fine. it took me a while for a second then. I was thinking, wait, how the fuck does that translate? And then I was like, oh, it doesn't. Like, you just say it in like a silly Japanese accent. I mean, it's actually not a silly Japanese accent. Like, in Japanese.
That's a very serious accent.
No, fuck off. What I mean is there aren't the syllables to construct the word battle royale. Like, they, you know, it's just they're not there.
What's the film that came out recently? Robo Geisha. And the trailer, the trailer is just the guy going, Robo Geisha! Over and over and over again, it's amazing.
You know what winds me the fuck up? The fact that, you know, I picked up Memoirs of a Geisha.
Yeah.
Looked at the back, and all
she's
the actors.
Korean?
All the actors were fucking, yeah, like either Chinese or Korean. Like, wait, what? Fuck!
Yeah, the main girl is Korean, it's fucking ridiculous.
Why? It's like. Actually, this is an amazing idea. It's like doing Pride and Prejudice with Nigerians. How fucking amazing
would
that be?
Nollywood Pride and Prejudice.
That would be incredible.
That would be incredible. Have you watched any Nollywood?
Yeah.
Channel, it's fucking the cretin.
I mean, I've not seen a lot of Nollywood films, but they're generally fucking ace. Like, I mean, I think it would just be so brilliant because, like, you take, like the very, like, calm, serene Pride and Prejudice, and then you just put in like just incredibly boisterous like Nigerian actors. It would be fucking brilliant. It would be so good. I think it should definitely be filmed in like a country house in the UK as well. Like, Nollywood actors should be imported. The only problem is, I think it has.
Are you encouraging people trafficking?
Yeah,
that's what it just sounded like. Nollywood actors should be imported.
I don't mean like put in cages and brought over. I guess the only problem is with it is it would basically, I think it'd be very difficult not to just make it a really racist comedy. You know what I mean?
Well, if you get a Nollywood director as well.
No, but this is the way it's interpreted, right? So like you'd have it done in like a completely Nigerian style, but then you'd show it in the UK, and I think the general sentiment would be, haha, look at those black people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I guess that's what I enjoy about Nollywood anyway. But not in a racist way, just in a way that's really bad cinema done extra badly.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is also the fact that the Nigerian accent is easily the most beautiful one in the entire world. Like, I'm not a racist. No, I am a racist, but the Nigerian accent is the most beautiful one in the world.
You're not a racist, Tom.
A little bit.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
Yeah. Have you seen that song?
Yeah, I went to see the musical. Me and I went to see it when we were
together. Okay, I was going to ask you if you could name an accent which is more beautiful than the Nigerian
Scouse.
One. Yeah, okay, alright.
I love Scouse. I would. If the Scouse accent had a vagina, I would put my penis in it.
I wish you'd not phrased it like that.
But if the Scouse accent had a vagina, it would be covered in makeup. It'd be fine.
Can we just not? Can we? Let's talk about Class of 1984.
If Class of 1984 had a vagina.
Thanks for making my spit my drink back into the glass. That was really nice. I'm really looking forward to drinking that again.
So yeah, Class of 1984, I loved it, you didn't love it so much, but you quite liked it a little bit.
Yeah, I liked it, but it's not a rewatcher for me. It's not one that is going into my stack.
Fair enough. So against the Warriors, I would you put Warriors on top?
I think I like the Warriors more because it tells like the story. So the part of this is Wicked. Is where he's chasing these people around the school and killing them.
Yeah.
Oh, and also the Wicked part when, you know, he's chasing them around to try and find his wife, and then suddenly he realises, fuck, like, I'm not going to chase them anymore, I'm going to let them come to me. And the hunting and the hunted role.
Yeah.
The hunter and the hunted role switches. And that's really cool. Like, I like that part a lot.
Yeah.
But that scene in general is the best part of the film, and the Warriors is just that scene stretched over an hour and a half.
Yeah. That's also Death Wish as well, stretched over an hour and a half, except his wife's dead. Is she dead? Death Wish? It's been a while since I watched Death Wish.
Okay.
But Death Wish does it in a much more sort of slow, deliberate way, whereas in The Warriors it's much more... Like, in Death Wish, it's literally that. Literally, they've killed his wife. They've raped and killed his wife. I'm going to put some money in a sock, and I'm going to hit people on the head with it for an hour.
Sick.
And then... Obviously, the Warriors. It's the same thing. It's like a gang of bad boys have big fights.
Yeah, but it's so colourful
every,
as well.
Every
like,
20 minutes.
But the Warriors, you know, the gangs are what makes it right. Like if every gang was just, you know, some dudes in jeans and t-shirt, it wouldn't be that exciting. But there's all these amazing, different, charismatic gangs.
Yeah,
and there's also like,
who's your favorite gang?
The Baseball Furies.
Obviously the Baseball Furies.
Yeah, like,
if it's anyone else, then you're not my friend
anymore. It's really, I mean, how's that even a question?
Do you remember that day that we went through all the gang names trying to find a name for our band?
Yeah. And all of them were taken.
Literally all of them. All the good ones anyway.
Yeah. It was wicked. It was a full on good film, and I like that it, you know, it always had that goal, right? Like, immediately at the start, they were put on the wrong side of New York, and they had to get home. And it was, like, it was just really straightforward.
Like a really violent version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I've seen it.
I've not seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Isn't it like a really, 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 really violent version of Homeward Bound?
Yeah. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just exactly the same as Homeward Bound. With the sort of surly dog as the character that's the dad from Dexter.
I think it's stretching plausibility.
Ajax. Is he called Ajax?
Oh, shit, yeah. I always forget that actors now were alive in the 80s.
Well, none of these ones were. None of these ones are. Like, I don't think I've seen... Maybe, I think I've seen Tim Van Patten. I think he's a director now, maybe. He's the guy that was Stegman.
Okay. Were any of the people, any of the school kids in the film actually a school kid age?
I think Michael J. Fox was the nearest.
Yeah, because that shit winds me up. Like,
wow, look how old they were. Look how old. Look, he's older than the teacher.
I know, it's ridiculous.
The teacher also looks a little bit like V for Vendetta. In that picture right
there. He looks like V, yeah, because of his beard, yeah. But he doesn't at any other point in the film, just in that picture. What was it? So in Twin Peaks, like, I looked at the actors' ages, and they were meant to be playing like 17, 18 year olds.
Of course.
Like 22, 23. And the facial structure changes so much over that period of time.
Well, Nicholas Brendan, who was Xander in Buffy, was 30 when Buffy started.
It's ridiculous. Like, absolutely ridiculous. And it's just so completely implausible that you have to keep reminding yourself that these people are meant to be of that age.
It actually completely fucked up my... like my radar for telling how old people are.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Completely, I, especially Americans.
Oh, you mean in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Shh. No, it doesn't ruin my real life radar. It just ruins my ability to figure out exactly what's going on in the film. But it ruins your actual real life radar.
Yeah, I can't tell how old people are.
You should probably check for ID before, you know.
Before what? For selling alcohol to minors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, before that.
Implying that I'm some sort of beer baron.
Yeah. So my accent radar is fucked up. Like, but only in TV. Like, I can do it in real life, it's fine. But the biology teacher in this, I had to stop and ask myself if he had an English accent.
There's a weird thing in America where if you're a posh American,
you sound English.
You sound vaguely English, but not really at the same time. Like, you have to think about it.
Yeah. But even like Alan Rickman, right, in what's it called?
Galaxy Quest.
I had to really, really listen. And I think it's only when he started swearing. Like, it was actually only when he said he was going to look for a pub that I thought, wait a minute, that's an English accent. Like, it's ridiculous.
You did not know that...
No,
Alan Rickman was English.
No, I know that Alan Rickman's English.
Are you sure?
Well, let me check. No, but like, my accent radar is so ruined by American television that I just I really struggle to pick them out anymore.
I'm almost glad that we're not American, because I think the idea of that character meant to be from, where's the teacher meant to be from? Nebraska.
Yeah.
I don't think he had a Nebraska accent.
I wouldn't know that.
No, I wouldn't know that either. But if we were American, we'd have to deal with that shit on a daily fucking basis.
No, surely. Like, no, no. Because there's no TV over here where someone goes, oh, you know, you're not in Liverpool now. And someone goes, yes, you're right, I'm not in Liverpool. You know, like, when you're meant to have a scouse, you've got a scouse.
Like, yeah, but I don't think, like, I always sort of equate the Nebraska accent in my mind, because I've never heard it properly apart from Conor Oberst, to the sort of Maine accent.
And the Maine accent is really weird. Nebraska
is in America.
Oh, right, okay.
It's near other parts of America that it's by.
Right, okay, I'm glad we understand that.
Welcome to Real Geography.
Yeah.
With Tom and Jamie.
It's already 11 o'clock.
Is it really?
Yeah, how did that happen?
I don't know.
I don't know when the film finished, though. I don't know how long we've been recording for.
Me neither. Well, let's just wrap up now anyway. I guess it's been like half an hour or so at least.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else to say. I mean, we've waffled for like a bunch of it anyway.
Yeah.
So, I like Class of 1984.
I kind of like it. I like it. It's on the edge of being a second watcher, but not quite. Cool. Which I think is actually a reasonable like description. Like, so for example, I'm definitely going to watch Solaris a bunch more times.
Yeah, I guess that could be our rating system. Like,
whether you watch it,
recommend, or watch again, or piece of,
well,
place,
wait
piece
a minute.
Of shit.
So, in which order? So you've got like
recommend is like the top tier. Like
you go to your friend
and say,
this is,
I watched this film. Watch this fucking film.
No. Well, the top tier is buy it for someone else, right?
I wouldn't. Maybe.
No, you want them to watch it so much that you go out and buy the DVD and give it to them. Like, I bought a stack of copies of Brick to give to people.
You did buy a stack of copies of Brick.
Right?
I need to go buy a copy of Brick for £1.
Yeah, you do.
I can't believe there's a two-disc version.
So top end, buy it for someone else.
Yeah.
Like, not even on a Christmas kind of thing, just like out of the blue, buy it for someone else.
Yeah.
Put it in their hands and go, fucking watch it. And then there's recommend it. And then there's watch it again. And then there's wouldn't quite watch it again. And then there's definitely wouldn't watch it again. And then there's like,
burn it.
Yeah. Oh,
literally,
yeah.
Put it in the box.
Let's take it back. Yeah. Or burn it. And then like, there's, and then at the very bottom, there's ruin it for everyone else. So like,
the very bottom is Dogville.
Yeah. Dogville. Like, so like, I always, you know, I feel like, so Mother Teresa, you know, went around the world doing, you know, beautiful acts.
You want to ruin Mother Teresa for everyone else?
No. What I'm saying is that was her, you know, contribution to humanity. My contribution to humanity is telling everyone how Vanilla Sky and Dogville end, so they'll never have to watch them.
But the film that Vanilla Sky was based on still has the same bullshit, ridiculous ending.
Well,
but it's a much better film, and you're spoiling it for two different movies.
Well,
maybe you weren't, because they might not know that, but now I've done it.
That's
you're not, just dragging me into your sorry world.
Yeah. It's a sordid pit.
It is. It's a fucking downward spiral. We'll just start spoiling a movie. He was a man. Swallowing Green's people. Can't stop.
You bitch. I've not even seen Silent Green yet.
Have you not?
Yeah. I mean, I knew Silent Green was people.
Now
everyone else does as well.
If anyone doesn't know that Soylent Green is people, they're probably not listening. They don't probably know how to work iTunes or internets to get podcasts.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. So the next film that we are going to watch is, I really don't know.
Come on, Tom.
The Fall. You love
The
Fall.
Oh, fuck off. I fucking hate them. Don't let me watch The Fall just to be a bitch. I will literally just bitch about it forever.
No, okay. I'd be really crushed if I had to listen to you bitching about that again. I don't know. I think I'll just have to think about it.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. There, maybe Contact.
Do we have Contact?
I have Contact. Yeah.
Contact was on that graph that I sent you today. Well, that graph,
yeah,
chat.
It was, yeah. Like I said, the text was too small for me to read it. But, yeah. I think Contact, but I might change my mind.
Okay. So, tune in next week to hear us maybe talk about Contact. I set up an email address, so people can email us, Tom, and that's at realpunks, all one word, RELPUNX at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's likely to change in the future when we get a proper email address.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Rad.
Bye.
Girlfriend's left and I'm all alone. I never knew seconds could drag so long. This is the worst day I've ever known. Dylan is dead and he's not coming back. The vet said he had a heart attack. The kindest creature I ever met. Loving a novel, the perfect